A lawsuit against the National Marine Fisheries Service has been settled in district court in Anchorage. As KDLL's Shaylin Cochran reports, native and environmental groups took issue with some of the math the agency used in calculating how many Cook Inlet beluga whales would be affected by seismic testing for oil and gas.
Specifically, the use of high-pressure air guns that sound like this. NIMS issued permits to Apache Corporation for that kind of testing last year, but the plaintiff's group in this case didn't like the way the agency projected the number of whales that might swim through these testing zones. Rebecca Noblin is the Alaska director for the Center for Biological Diversity. They joined the Chicoloon Native Village and the Natural Resources Defense Council as plaintiffs.
They really underestimated how many whales might be harmed.
The plaintiff's group logged several complaints about the permits, but this is the only one that stuck. Now, the real problem is that they based the number of whales that would be affected on an aerial survey, but didn't correct that estimate for whales that can't be observed in an aerial survey. Brad Smith is the agency's Protected Resources Field Office Supervisor in Anchorage.
So that correction factor was used for the overall estimate of the whales in the inlet for our population estimate, but it was not used when we estimated the actual animals that were in this area that would be affected by the project.
So because there were some errors in those calculations, the court found that the agency's limit for takes of whales was arbitrary and capricious. That limit was 30 whales per year, about 10% of the total population of Cook Inlet belugas. Now, a take in this circumstance doesn't necessarily mean a kill. The permits issued are called IHAs, Incidental Harassment Authorization. That can mean a couple of different things, but basically it means disturbing a marine mammal by conduct ranging from incidental harassment to killing. And for Apache's part, they did have a mitigation plan in place that NIMS was okay with. If belugas started to swim into a testing area, they would pause or stop testing.
They would have the observers on board the seismic vessel with binoculars and looking during daylight hours when visibility allowed them to see where the whales were coming in with this zone at the point where they may be harassed.
And beside that, Smith says belugas tend to cluster, usually where they can get a fill of salmon near river mouths and not necessarily near the testing zones. He says one testing zone is in an area where no whales have been observed by aerial survey.
That's not to say that we wouldn't expect them to be found or to occur in the area where we expected the seismic, most of the seismic noise to be found during the surveys, but rather the distribution is going to be clustered, and most of the whales are not going to be in this area, but rather at the mouths of those salmon streams.
Smith says they've reworked the math, and Apache is operating under a new batch of permits. Noblin says a new approach is needed, that the focus of the agency should be more precautionary and look at all of the activity going on in Cook Inlet. Apache isn't the only company doing business out there, and oil and gas development isn't the only activity.
There's shipping, and there's pollution from Anchorage, and there's all sorts of things going on in Cook Inlet that can impact beluga whales, and the National Marine Fisheries Service is the only agency that really, can get a handle on everything impacting beluga whales and balance all those competing interests.
The permits Apache applied for allow for testing at both 180 decibels and 160 decibels. How loud is that? Well, back when NASA was still in the space shuttle business, they had to use a sound suppression system during launch so that they wouldn't damage the cargo with excessive sound pressure. NASA saw fit to keep the volume below 145 decibels. Reporting in Kenai, I'm Shaylin Cochran.